conditioning under my Cherokee.
Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:03 on Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. My opening comments, I've got just a couple of quick mentions. One, congratulations to the NDSU football team. I think that happened after our last meeting, right? Or did I go through this again?
No, it was right after.
Okay. So congratulations to them for the first time. That's a nice achievement. Also had a couple of good association meetings. One was the Broadband Association, and we get together with them on an annual basis, and more than that, actually. But North Dakota continues to lead the way in fiber in terms of having that distribution network in place, and they're just doing a really great job overall, and it was good to hear from them. And unfortunately, I missed another really big meeting in town, the North Dakota REC meeting. I was actually out of town yesterday and then prepping this morning for the meeting, but another great organization as well, doing some really good work for the state. So, Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will follow up the comments about the broadband meeting. I, too, made note during that meeting of the amazing internet service that North Dakota has. We have, by the end of this year, we'll have 100% broadband to the home in North Dakota. This is according to the RECs. And a lot of that service, there's 299 communities that are capable of gigabyte service in our state. So for being a rural state like North Dakota, small population, our connectivity is second to none in the country. And our rural telephone providers are being looked at nationally for their as models for other rural areas for how to use the various programs that exist, grants, loans. There's been any number of federal initiatives that they've taken advantage of to help make this possible. And I really think it's amazing for citizens in our state to enjoy that level of technology service to their homes. And it's a real asset to our communities and to our economy, and really creates all kinds of new opportunities for businesses in and around North Dakota. So hats off to the rural telco providers and the incredible service they're making possible in our state.
Commissioner Christman?
Well, to follow up on the same two subjects, go Bison. You said the first time, meaning the first time since our last meeting, but of course it's the eighth time this decade. So we're kind of getting used to it. Regarding the broadband connectivity, I know what you meant, Commissioner Fedorchuk, about them serving 100% of the homes, 100% of the homes in the territory they
yes.
cover, but there are still those pockets out there, and that's our big problem now. And but we got some good news, and it's even older than the eighth Bison National Championship this decade. But it actually came out the day of our last meeting after we adjourned, and that was USDA announced a significant grant combination loan. It's about half and half, I think a little more grant than loan, to two of those rural telecommunications companies. Cumulatively, they're about $23 million. And one is to Polar Communications. That's the larger, and that's half loan and half grant. The smaller one is to Dactel. Polar Communications will be bringing broadband to some more of that area. Between these two, and like I said, Polar's the bigger total in both of these, but about 2,200 square miles between them. And what that... That combination of loan and grants is going to allow these two companies to do is bring fiber connectivity to 2,643 households, 78 businesses, 9 educational facilities, and a healthcare facility. That is a huge deal. And when we look at our maps of some of these kind of problem areas that the various companies that make up the Broadband Association in North Dakota don't cover, this is going to take a big chunk out of that very soon are going to have the absolute best broadband capability that's available. And so an exciting new development, and those companies continue to march on trying to completely shade that map out and make sure that everybody in North Dakota soon has that ability. And hats off to USDA and the USDA Rural Development Director, Claire Carlson. This is a big chunk of dollars to help bring that service to these high-cost areas.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. We have 5 items on consent in the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, moving into the regular agenda, my first item. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Incorporated, Electric Service Agreement, American Colloid Company, approval case number PU-18-433.
Second.
On December 28th, 2018, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MDU Resources Group, filed for commission approval of a negotiated amendment to its service agreement with American Colloid for interruptible individual or industrial electric service at American Colloid's North Dakota facility. On October 22nd, 2019, the commission held an informal hearing, and during that hearing, advocacy staff did voice opposition to a 7-year transition period that was to bring the company more in line with what other ratepayers in that class would be paying. And as a result of that, it wound up being a 3-year transition plan. And MDU did file a restated amendment to that effect. And then on December 3rd, 2019, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. The commission did. And as a result of that, no response was received. So, again, this is a 3-year plan to transition American Colloid to a rate that is consistent with what other customers in that rate class pay. American Colloid is actually a subsidiary of Minerals Technology Incorporated. It's a large company. They have close to $2 billion in annual revenue. They have almost 4,000 employees, and their corporate headquarters are actually in New York. What they do is they are involved with bentonite clay. And so it's a specialized materials type business operating in the state. And at the time when the service agreement was put in place, because this is a measurable increase for the company, after the 3-year period, their utility rates, and remember, they are a substantial commercial customer, but their utility rates will actually increase approximately $100,000. So it's going to be staged over 3 years, but that, again, puts them more in line with what other customers in the rate class pay. And that's important because you don't want one customer subsidizing another customer or customers within a given rate class. So that's something we're always working on. And this was, and I'd ask the question, well, how did this come about to begin with? And when you turn back the hands of time 10, 15 years ago, there was less economic certainty in North Dakota. And in an effort to make the state more attractive for people to come in, companies to come in and do business, some of these rates were put in place as an economic incentive to attract them to North Dakota. So we've been in the process. We, being advocacy staff, has actually been working in the Public Utilities Division on a number of these and just bringing them more in line with what the rates would actually be. So I support this motion, and again, it's consistent with what other customers in the rate class pay.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, my next item, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission, Crosby Creek Consulting, LLP Damage Enforcement, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-300.
Second.
On August 24th, 2019, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by Crosby Creek Consulting of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-04, which is the one-call law. The commission sent a letter to Crosby Creek enclosing the complaint, and Crosby Creek did respond to the complaint on September 10th, 2019. On December 10th, 2019, a consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and Crosby Creek was filed for the resolution of the complaint. Crosby Creek is located in Kildare, North Dakota, just as a note. And the alleged violation was that they began excavating prior to receiving notice that all facilities in the excavation area had been located or cleared, or the expiration date of the locate of the locate period. Crosby Creek was doing some work near Kildare, installing culverts. There was no damage to a nearby 8-inch high-pressure natural gas pipeline, but nonetheless, we talk about this a lot, just making sure everything is in place before excavation begins, which Crosby Creek did acknowledge. This is their first-time offender, so as a result of that, they are assessed a civil penalty of $500 if this order is approved, and they would remit $250 of that $500 amount payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of this order. The remaining $250 is suspended under the condition that they have no further violations of the North Dakota one-call law within 5 years of the date of the order. And I support this one as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-19-364.
Second.
On November 8th, 2019, MDU filed an application for approval of an annual update to its generation resource cost recovery rider, that is rate 56. And on December 3rd, 2019, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, providing until January 17th, 2020, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received, and the issues that were noticed and to be considered were, are the proposed tariff revisions just and reasonable? Do the proposed rates comply with the tariff? And are the proposed rates just and reasonable? The rate change in this instance, it includes updated expenses and a true-up amount related to MDU's Lewis and Clark Rice units. MDU states that the effect of the proposed change to the generation resource rider would be a decrease of 3 cents per month for an average a customer using an average of 894 kilowatt hours per month. So the average residential customer is going to see actually a slight decrease. And again, this is driven by two factors: one, an over recovered balance of approximately $80,000, and then also just more customers in that particular pool. At the beginning of the regular agenda, when I was talking about American Colloid, for example, as a part of their transition, they will start to pay this for this particular rider. They're currently not. So this change isn't a result of that action, because that has to be worked in over the three-year period. But other customers that have now become a part of that pool are spreading the expanse out over more accounts, more meters, if you will. So you've got an $80,000 over collected balance, and then just more customers in the pool, which decreases the average amount billed by the 3 cents per month.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and my final item, I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000, suspend the tariff filing, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2020 rates, case number PU-19-387.
Second.
Randy.
Sorry, I lost track.
Okay, on December 31st, 2019, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to increase its 2020 renewable resource adjustment, which is a part of the energy and renewable adjustment line on customers' electric bills. The renewable resource adjustment covers costs associated with renewable generation. Otter Tail proposes to increase the amount from the current credit, which is a negative 0.224%, to a charge of 3.744% effective April 1st, 2020. The impact for a typical residential customer, if this is approved, using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month would be an increase of approximately $2.72 per month. Again, the issues to be considered in this proceeding, whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by March 2nd, 2020. And for more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission at 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Yeah, that completes my portfolio. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Mr. Chairman, could I request that we take a brief recess? I need to just double-check something in my paperwork that I wasn't able to do prior to the meeting.
Okay. How much time would you like?
Could we come back at 10:30?
Yep. We will be in recess until 10:30.
Thank you.
Mics are live.
We are reconvened. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Christman, for allowing me to take that brief recess. I move the commission. I just have one motion. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and a route permit and issue notice of filing and public hearing in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC, 16-inch NGL Pipeline, Williams County, citing application case number PU-19-368.
Second.
So public hearing on this project is scheduled for March 6th of 2020 at 9 a.m. Central Time at the City of Williston Public Works and Engineering Department, location that we haven't used before. One Oak Bakken Pipeline has filed a combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit for location of a natural gas liquids pipeline approximately 75 miles long, located in Williams County. The pipeline is approximately 58% of the route is co-located within existing linear infrastructure. The construction of the project would provide firm, reliable service for an initial anticipated throughput of 30,000 barrels of NGLs per day, and would provide a link between the Hestioga gas plant, the XTO Nesson gas plant, and the Flatiron Springbrook gas plant to the state line to Riverview NGL pipeline system for delivery to facilities in the Mid-Continent and Gulf Coast for additional processing prior to distribution to various markets. So this is a big new pipeline project. A lot of it, as I just stated, is co-located within existing infrastructure, but still more than 40% will be greenfield, and the total distance is 75 miles. Really additional fill-in of the infrastructure needed to support the natural gas processing industry and to ultimately lead to the reduction of flaring in the Bakken. So that's the proposal for this project. We have the hearing set on March 6th again at 9 a.m. in Williston for any and all who are interested and have things to offer us as it relates to this project. We'd love to have you attend that hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just one question about the location. I'm not familiar with the facility, but you know, we've had just almost perfect accommodations out at that Ag Research Center on the west side of town. And if anybody's flying in, now with the new airport, that research center is even more convenient because it doesn't even require going through town. It's just right on the bypass. And I'm wondering why we're switching, if that was unavailable this day or what.
To be honest, I don't know that, Randy. The staff didn't consult me on the location. This is 1121 5th Street East in Williston, and I'm not sure why this location was picked over the others.
Okay.
We could sure check and wait on issuing the actual notice if you want to really dig into the others, but I mean, or the other location, but if this is right in town, it might be actually more convenient for folks living in the area.
Yeah, I'm willing to try something new. I thought maybe there was some known reason or anything, okay. But I'll leave that up to you as portfolio
okay.
holder.
I think Jerry has an answer.
I was just going to tell you that City Hall, we're going to have it at City Hall, but it's being renovated, so they recommended to have it at the Public Works.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
I tried Ernie French Center, but they no longer set up and take down.
Ah.
So that's why
okay.
Very good. Thanks, Jerry.
Always a good reason.
Thank you.
So,
appreciate you popping in with the explanation.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, you know, not only this project, but without question, there will continue to be a lot of activity related to natural gas gathering, processing, transmission out in the Bakken region. And it's a challenge for producers because as quickly as new processing capabilities and capacity is put in place, at the same time you've got rising natural gas production coming off the various wellheads in the Bakken. So they're chasing a moving target, which does create a challenge, but it's good to see applications like this coming in because ultimately that is, in fact, the only way, as you mentioned, Commissioner Fedorchuk, to decrease flaring in the region. So there's quite a bit of work left to be done, and you know, the other challenge I think in this is it's not from an economic standpoint, it's not a true moneymaker for drillers and producers in the Bakken to deal with natural gas, but they have to as a means to an end to continue drilling activity for crude oil. So it's an interesting set of dynamics, and we'll see what the application looks like, and I hope it's favorable.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the other solution, and one I think we all probably look forward to, is keeping these NGLs in North Dakota and using the components of them that would help support a cracking facility or the petrochemical industry. So I think that is another long-term solution for this that I look forward to one day, not just building more pipelines to send this NGL out of state, but keeping it here for use with another industry in our own state and the value added that would provide.
Could not agree more.
Yep. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Yeah. That's it for my portfolio. Thank you.
And Commissioner Crispin.
Mike Kellum, I have anything. Portfolio is clear.
Clear today, which is a rare occurrence. Okay. That concludes the regular agenda in terms of announcements. We have an informal hearing today. We actually one informal hearing today at 1:30. That is case number PU-19-328. It's with Northern States Power Company. It's a transmission facility cost recovery rate hearing, and also PU-19-329, which is a renewable resource cost recovery. So one transmission facility cost recovery, the other renewable resource. And that is at 1:30. At 3 o'clock, we have a work session scheduled for case number 19-355, which is MDU, renewable resources, resource cost recovery rates. And then tomorrow, a work session at 9 in the morning on Dakota Access Pipeline. That's 19-204 in terms of the case number. And at 10 o'clock, a work session regarding electric vehicle study. Thursday, January 30th at 9 o'clock, Railroad Safety Program update, and all these are here at the Commission Hearing Room. And then on Wednesday, February 5th at 10 o'clock, that would be our next regular Commission meeting. So that concludes the announcements. We'll now take a brief recess and take questions from the press, followed by potentially a short break, and then we'll get into the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.